We're all present, so there's no apologies. Are there any declarations of interest anyone would like to put forward? No declarations of interest. If you have a conflict of interest during the meeting, please don't hesitate to bring it forward and put it in writing and submit it to us by the end of the meeting. Confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on Tuesday the 9th of March 2021. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Murat and...
I was absent.
I'll second.
Councillor Sparks. Moved and seconded the confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting are true and correct copy. All those in favour signify the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. Matters arising from the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on Tuesday the 9th of March. Are there any matters arising?
No.
No matters arising. Next thing on the agenda is the chairman's report. And that's my report. Our last meeting we had a change of structure to bring Glenn Innes 7 Council into the County Council officially and become a valued member of the New England Weeds Authority. It is also a positive that we are meeting at Glenn Innes today and ensuring that our organisation is visible to our member councils but also to the public and press. The New England Weeds Authority is a quiet achiever. And sometimes it has drawbacks in that our members' councils do not understand our role and the staff in the councils do not see what we do. We have invited Glenn Innes 7 councillors and the general manager to attend through our councillor Sparks and mayor of Glenn Innes 7 council. We have received several apologies from them, so there'll be several councillors that are unable to attend. Since our last meeting in the March, we have undergone a change of senior staff, and I would like to welcome officially Mr. Glenn Wilcox, our acting general manager. As we can see from today's business papers and the workshop to be held, that a large amount of work has been undertaken to review the authority to ensure we are compliant with official office and of local government expectations and those of our auditor and to develop our staff along the way. Today, we will review the annual operating plan, which has been reformatted to make reporting and activities easier and to provide for the next financial year budget. The budget is in the positive subject to grant contributions and the major conclusion is $1 million loan to be applied for to develop the new depot and office facilities at the Armidale Airport subdivision. For the public, Council will also be holding a strategic workshop following today's meeting to start to plan future directions. These include the advertising for a permanent general manager, councillors' consideration and training under the Model Code of Conduct, any changes to the Model Code of Meeting Practice as we have a new member, and consideration of the staff structure and gaining an understanding of our internal and external risks. I would like to thank our host, Glenn Innes 7 Council, and the support they have shown towards our organisation. Thank you very much, councillors.
Thank you, and welcome to Glenn Innes.
Thank you. And that ends the chairman's report. I'd like to table that report. Can I have a mover to be tabled? Councillor Murat and Councillor O'Connor. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. Now, the next thing on the agenda is the General Manager's report, organisational matters, New England Weeds Authority annual operation plan. And the recommendation is on page 11 of 41. That the draft New England Weeds Authority annual operation plan 2021 to 2022 be placed on public exhibition for a minimum period of 28 days in accordance with the provisions of Local Government Act 1993. That following the conclusion of the public exhibition period, a further report be presented to Council on submissions received and for the adoption of the draft New England Weeds Authority annual operation plan 2021 2021-2022. That the constituent member councils of Armidale Regional Council, Glen Innes 7 Council, Walker Council, Eurala Council are provided with a copy of the draft New England Weeds Authority Annual Operation Plan 2021-2022 for comment. That the Inverell Shire Council be provided with a copy of the draft New England Weeds Authority Annual Operation Plan for comment. That's the recommendation. Has everyone had an opportunity to read the business papers? Mr. General Manager, I'd love you to make a comment.
Mr. Chair, councillors will be aware that I sent out a second operational plan, and I wish to apologise, as I did in the email, but I need the extra week to try and coordinate that plan into something more realistic. So the front part of the plan never changed. It's the outcomes that I think you, as councillors and members of the public, will want to see that needs to be discussed and changed, so that you know that how many properties we're inspecting each year according to the Weed Action Plan, you know, how many education programs, how many activities are we really undertaking. And I also wish to spend a little bit of time trying to line that up with the new general manager's position and the two new senior staff positions, their key performance indicators and their reporting back to this committee. So I apologise that I didn't have quite enough time, and we may wish to have a look at that at the workshop. In principle, the plan's the same. The budget is the same. The budget is in the positive. We're going in with around, I've got a figure in front of me, but around about 86,000 in the black, subject to grant applications. That's on the grants we know that will be paid next year, and obviously there's an expectation of the organisation, these new senior positions will generate more grant funding, and people will start to look at that, and we improve that service overall. So I think we just need a little bit of time to talk about, in the workshop, the general manager's position, and how that's going to line up, and how you get the reporting you need to know how the organisation functions. So if we could consider sort of, yes, the plan as it is, and with a slight amendment, you know, going forward once we discuss those performance outcomes, if that's possible, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You can identify the difference between the two plans, by the way. The first operational plan is 2021-22. The second one was sent out so that you know the difference is 22-23. But they'll be implemented very similarly.
Yeah, it's the same, but I think the plan will become a rolling plan for council as to what its, you know, reporting and general manager's performance will be into the future.
So which one's the subject of the motion to go on the public exhibition?
The first one?
First, that's a recommendation.
That's the recommendation.
In the blue.
Yeah, I don't see the recommendation changes it, because you can add to what has been there anyway. We've got to go out to public advertisement, and you have the option to add anything after public advertisement.
Consider it.
And consider it.
So basically,
Councillor Murat.
So basically, on here, you got 21, 22. You really want to put forward the one that's
22-23. So yeah. I changed the picture and the cover just so that you can see the difference.
Separation.
So the suggestion is not that we put this recommendation aside today, it's that we modify the plan
on the 16th of the 4th
in the future.
Yeah, we can either, just Chair, sorry,
just go,
we could either modify it now before we put the motion, or we could talk about all the issues in the workshop and modify it as we go. But the fact is, no matter what we put in at the workshop, once I advertise it, it should be the right plan.
So we're not going to be wasting time advertising one that's been amended?
No. Councillor Cumming,
sorry.
No, Mr. Chair, we we would amend the plan now, advertise it the 16th, and then bring it back to the June meeting as the complete plan. It's just I needed another week. I didn't have the week. And I'll explain why.
All right, councillors, you have the recommendation.
I'll move it as per the recommendation, acknowledging that we are going to modify it, so I'll move it.
Councillor Murat, and seconded Councillor O'Connor. I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour, signify by usual note. I'll see that carried unanimously. I don't need to ask whether there's any objects. Next recommendation. Next recommendation is the Audit Office of New South Wales audit for the year ending June 20th, 21st, and the recommendation that the report on the audit process of Council's financial statements for the year ending 30th of June 2021 be received and noted. Mr. General Manager, would you like to comment on this at all?
Mr. Chair, it's pretty much the same as what's been going on for previous years. There's being a smaller organisation, they focus on our accounts more than our governance, and I have met with the auditors and asked them, because of recent history, to also focus a bit more on governance, and I've been working with the auditors to try and fix up a few things around procurement and purchasing those areas, and we've started staff training in those areas to get them up to speed as to what they legally need to be doing as well. So I would expect that when the audit comes back in September, October, November, when the Auditor General comes back, there will be some comments around governance in there, and that we're working towards improvements in those areas. So.
Councillors, you have a recommendation in front of you. Can I have a move or a second? Councillor Sparks,
yes.
Moving. Seconded Councillor Murat. Would you like to speak on the recommendation, Councillor Sparks?
No, I just think it's, as long as it's in the best interest of the council and the community, I'm happy.
Councillor Murat, would you like to speak?
No.
Are there any objections to the recommendation? I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner. Declare that carried. The next recommendation is 7.1.3, Model Code of Conduct and Model Code of Conflict Procedures. One of my not so favourite subjects. The recommendation that Council adopt the Model Code of Conduct 2020 and the Model Code of Conduct Procedures 2020 as required under Clause 440 of the Local Government Act 1993 as amended and the regulations thereto. Are there any, Mr. General Manager, if you have any comments you'd like to make on this subject?
Mr. Chair, only that because you've got a new member joining, I think you need to reaffirm the code of conduct, and we'll talk in the workshop about some training which I sent out from the Office of Local Government for you to read, I think by adopting that and understanding what the code of conduct is, then we're pretty much on track, but we must adopt the procedure as well as the code according to the Act.
So you go,
Councillor Sparks.
Are you intending to send out that? Because we've already got, I'm sure as councillors, we've got a pile of them about codes of conduct.
Exactly, yes.
I assume it's the same as every other council?
Yes. Mr. Chair, it's a model code put out by the Office of Local Government,
yep.
And model procedures,
yep.
And you must adopt them in whole. There are a couple of variations, but to be honest, I think you've got enough copies from your own council, or you may have worked through them, or other reasons. There is copies available, and we can send them to you electronically. I wouldn't like you to have a printed copy, but if you do wish one, very happy to provide it with our logo on, it's just a procedural matter that, you know, we've changed the organisation structure, we should recognise that, the code.
Councillor O'Connor?
Oh, just a question. You're telling us, Mr Acting General Manager, that there's been no additional optional insertions in that document?
Because, Chair, I don't believe you need to
make any insertions
into the document. There are areas that you can change, but the current document Council has before it is fine.
It's just the draft, the model.
It's the model, and the procedures are just the procedures, and hopefully you'll never have to read either of them in this organisation. But it's really because we have a new member joined that procedurally we should make sure that everyone's aware of what our requirements are, even though I know you are.
All right,
that's great. Thank you.
Councillors, we have a recommendation in front of us. Can I either move and second it? Councillor Gallatly. Councillor Gallatly moved, Councillor Murat seconded. Would you like to speak on it, Councillor Gallatly?
I think it's fine sticking to what we've been given. Yes, thank you.
Councillor Murat has seconded. Would you like to speak?
No, please.
Anyone like to speak against? I'll now put the motion. All those in favour of the recommendation, signify in the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. The next is a draft newer workforce plan and strategy. A recommendation that Council adopt the draft workforce plan and strategy and Council write to the union group advising of the workplace plan and strategy as required by the local government award. And Council publicly display the workforce plan and strategy as required by the local government act and submit a report to Council following the display period. Mr General Manager.
Mr Chair, this is a legal requirement under the Act as part of the IPNR document process. So, yes, you have your community or strategic plan, you know, your delivery plan, your operations plan, you must have a workforce plan, you must have a 10-year budget as well, long-term plan. Again, in the workshop, I'd just like to talk about the staff structure and moving it a little bit. So there's nothing dramatic in that change in structure, but I need to talk to you about that and how these new positions come in and how everything lines up. But we don't have a current workforce plan, so I've prepared that, which goes through, you would have seen how it talks about how we will support and train staff, we will look after their health and safety and so on through that plan. Because it's a legal document and you haven't had since 2014, I think it's time that we prepared one to meet the current structure or the structure that you as councillors believe the organisation should have.
Are there any questions, councillors? Well, we have the recommendation in front of us. Can I have a mover and a second for the recommendation? Councillor Murat? Councillor Sparks?
Yep.
Councillor Murat, would you like to speak on the recommendation?
No, I'm just waiting till we have the workshop to discuss a few things.
Councillor Sparks?
No.
Is there anyone who would like to speak against the recommendation? I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour of the recommendation signify in the usual manner. Councillor Comet?
Yep, done.
I'll declare that carried unanimously. The recommendation 7.1.5, view and update of newer local policies. Recommendation that Council undertake a review of its local policies in accordance with Section 165 of the Local Government Act 1993. That Council undertake amendments as required to its policies. That Council advertise all policies for a period of 40 days to allow for public comment and that council consider all public comments at the time of adopting any policies. Mr. General Manager, once again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We will be discussing the review into newer and the reason you're sitting there with so many policies. That's the policy register. You want to read the hard copies. A lot of our policies were out of date. We were not fully compliant with the Local Government Act, and there needed to be updates. Some of our policies, such as the delegations policy, had names in rather than positions. Those people had left many years ago, and the delegations had not been applied correctly. Across the board, there's been some issues within council that needed to be addressed as to work health and safety, but the policies that have been presented to you address the personal side, not the work health and safety legislation at this stage. There's a lot more work to be done on that, and that set of policies needs to be discussed at a great more length, and we will be talking to WorkSafe about, you know, what their expectations are as well. Some of the policies, such as procurement and purchasing policy, you read that I've placed a local content or regional content in there, so there's a benefit regionally. Normally, you probably wouldn't do that in a larger organisation. You're looking for the best opportunity, but for this organisation, I believe, if you know, we're operating from Walker to Glen Innes and maybe further afield, that we should be trying to spend money within that area. So there's a regional component in there where we can price and actually look at giving a price advantage within our region. So yes, we can probably buy off a pallet in Sydney, but that doesn't help a local supplier, for instance. You know, so there's that sort of advantage. The other policies are all, the policies are now all interlinked. So if you read one policy, the policy relates to the next one, to the next one, so that, you know, especially around the staff. So code of conduct, as we've just adopted for council, that's adopted for staff. That code of conduct flows through all our policies now. Mm-hmm. You know, bullying and harassment policies flows through all our policies as well. So I've made sure that there's reference in there so that the staff have somewhere to go to and the councillors have a great understanding of how the policies interlink. So there are a lot. I believe we're now compliant with the Local Government Act on that side, but we've got a lot of work to do on work health and safety side at this stage, Mr. Chair.
Councillors, are there any questions?
Chair, the recommendation, as I understand it, is only to undertake a review. It's not to necessarily adopt these drafts as policies. So do we get a chance to workshop these policies at a strategic level?
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe the review's right, because my thinking was like yours, that I'm just giving you a whole folder full of policies. What's in there? You know, I think you should have time to review them and then, you know, put them out when you're happy for public display. From a staff perspective, they are draft. If staff needed to refer to them, say procurement, for instance, if we wish to go and buy something now, they need to follow those rules so that they don't get themselves in trouble. If there's an issue in there, you know, they need to follow the draft that's there currently until such time as they're formally adopted. But yes, I do believe you need time to review. Mm. There's 32 policies, there's lots of words, there's, you know, it doesn't, I'm not trying to have the policies put commitments back onto council that are unrealistic. But they're there for the protection of the organisation and, in some of the cases, the individual staff members.
Councillor,
yeah, no, that's right. I was just going to say, because there's, you know, as you say, say there's 32 policies. There's some that strategically, you know, that we're better keeping out of, I think. You know, they're better formulated operationally, and some that are the other way around, perhaps some that have more of a strategic implication. So the need for us to get desperately involved in all of them, I wouldn't have said would be there. However, there are some that I prefer to look at, you know, in workshop mode or something. And I don't know whether you think the best idea is for us to go through and suggest which ones we think, and then perhaps you know, cherry pick them and deal with them in workshop prior to a meeting, dealing with that way, because wouldn't that be something you'd go along with?
Chair, I believe that's the right way.
Yeah.
You know, probably, yeah, pick the ones you have an interest in as councillors and you wish to review. But just picking up on one of your comments, some of these are operational.
Yeah.
Well, I have a totally different theory on what your role is. You run the organisation, you should know what's in there, and the application of them may be operational, but you need to know what's actually in there and how that may commit council in the future before you adopt it. Just don't take it point blank that the general manager's right, because, you know, there can be commitments in there that impact.
No, absolutely. I just think in the formulation of them, some of them are much better formulated at an operational level, because that's where the knowledge lies, rather than us sticking our nose into something in which we have little understanding, essentially. Even though we should be over it and understanding, I don't think that we've got the expertise to be formulating the biggest part of some of those policies.
Mr. Jolie, I believe what you're saying is correct, in so much as they do the operational side of things and they can advise us on what they believe should be in the policies. It's up for us to make the policies.
At the end of the day, yes.
At the end of the day, and we're the ones that buck stops with, so we're going to do it. Yeah, can I, right. Councillor O'Connor, would you like to say something?
Just a technical point, in relation to them still being drafts, do we need to resolve here that until such time as they're formally adopted as adopted policies, they never got the supplier's drafts in the interim? Do we need to do something like that?
Consideration now.
Mr. Chair, you could just add that. We haven't got a mover and seconder at this point, so it could be whatever you like.
Oh, well, I mean, anyway, it's for discussion. I just thought to protect the organisation in the interim, we need to have something. You need to have probably you need to have some resolution that they do apply in the interim format. Otherwise, there's possibly a legal question as to whether
the draft applies in the interim.
Mr. Chair, if you just had the council undertake a review of its draft and local policies and leave it at that, because you're reviewing it. It's a review phase.
Yeah.
Legally, our whole intention is to make the place operate according to the law.
Yeah.
We don't technically need any policies. The law says we must avoid incorrect expenditure, fraud, corruption. We must protect our staff under all circumstances.
Right.
We don't technically need any policies, so it's not a legal requirement. The policies are there to guide the organisation down the path. So the policy, if I come back to procurement, regional purchasing or local purchasing does not apply under the Act and doesn't apply under the accounting standards. But if you want that to happen, you need it in a policy. You know, if we want our staff to talk to ABC Personal Consulting Services for work, health and safety reasons, we develop a policy that says that.
Mm. So you don't feel that there's no need for us to formally endorse the draft policies as effective immediately?
No. The only real thing that's there is the delegations to the general manager and the staff, and I've been thinking about this overnight. It probably separate resolution, you know, and should come in as urgent business because it's not on the agenda. So
why don't we do that at the appropriate time in the meeting, with respect and through the chair?
So that would be right on that, would you? Councillor Gallagher.
If there's prioritised things that think that should be policies that should be taken on through these 32 policies, why don't we get the whoever wants to prioritise them, and maybe at our next meeting we can have in general business the discussion of the priority ones that are coming under what's name, so we can update if there seems to be something wrong with them. Is there any way we can organise that into something, or if you get what I mean?
Yep, Mr. General Manager.
Yeah, I think that's what was expressed previously, Mr. Chair, that you look at the policies you wish to have a look at, and we'll set up a workshop and have a talk about those ones and any others that come up at that stage.
And if we can have that winging off one of our meetings, it'll probably be a lot better, because we've got the Barker and Guy at Barker and Glen Innes and Arndale.
So possibly not before the meeting, because we'll be in the meeting at 5 a.m. Yeah,
that's
a joke.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
So, Mr. General Manager, am I correct in saying we're not going to amend the recommend one you put in draft and local policies? Leave that to an emergency or anything.
If you just add the word draft there, and the delegations of authority policy will deal with this emergent matter.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Can I just interrupt for a minute?
Yes,
I want to get on the same page that I can't. I'm just looking at the last email that you sent to Glenn.
Which,
that's
the document.
I know, the last one with the change of documents, that's all.
Oh, that's just the intention is the
Came. The other one's about 3 or 4 days before we end.
So we've got
our email sent out attachment.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got it. Sorry, mate. Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that.
I can lend you the hard copy.
Yeah.
If you like.
I've been fighting with the internet all morning. 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Right. I think we've discussed that adequately now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put an amendment to the recommendation that council undertake a review of its draft and local policies in accordance with the section 165 of the Local Government Act 1993, while the remaining 1, 2 and 3 recommendations remain the same. Could I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Kermode and Councillor Murat. Councillor Kermode, would you like to speak on the recommendation?
No, I think that's been said.
Sir, that's all right.
Same thing.
Are there any objections to the recommendation? I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner, I declare that carried unanimously. The next recommendation is the invested funds report. Recommendation that the report, including council's fund management position, be received and noted. That the certificate of the responsible accounting officer be noted and the report adopted.
Should the word investment be there, because it's really not the investment anymore.
It's a piggy bank.
It's a shelving position. We could just park it there.
If there are fees coming out of these accounts, you actually couldn't be in a minus balance at the moment.
We're in the black, that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. We are. Actually, I was quite interested. I noticed there was one there that had over 1%.
Juicy.
At which point do we convert it to cash and bury it?
Not far off. Right.
That's where the old mattress comes in handy, isn't it?
Mr. General Mayor, but they're doing away with cash. They reckon cash has been gone in 2 years.
Not my reason to put it away there.
Any comments? Okay. Councillors, you have the recommendation in front of you. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Murat and Councillor Gallagher.
You, John.
I'll put my hand up.
You did.
That's second crack for the day.
Councillor Murat, would you like to speak on the recommendation?
No, I've said my bit.
Councillor Gladley?
Just take notice that
you said. Are there any speakers against the recommendation?
None at all.
No.
I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. Once again. Recommendation 7.1.7 on page 30 of 41. Recommendation, this is a quarterly budget review. The council adopt the March 2021 quarterly budget review and approve the proposed budget variations. Mr. General Manager.
Mr. Mayor, as written.
As written.
I'll move it.
Move Councillor Murat.
Looking good.
Seconder, Councillor Gartley.
Seeing I'm so good with figures.
Would you like to speak on it, Councillor Murat?
Yes.
Councillor Gladley?
No, thanks.
Would anyone like to speak against this or anything they'd like to put forward? A very important area of our business. Okay, seeing there's no objections, I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour with the recommendation signify in the usual manner, please. I declare that carried unanimously. Mr. General Manager, you mentioned something before in passing relating to the budget before we go any further, and you said you would like to see percentage figures put on the back of these estimates. Have you pursued that at all?
Mr. Chair, I've added those percentages.
Sort of
so I think there needs to be some changes so that you have a better understanding of how budgets work, and I'm saying this as councils in New South Wales, I don't believe councillors get a full picture, and if you don't understand budgeting to the nth degree according to local government, because it's different to business accounting, we're backwards compared to them, by having percentages there, you can see that we've just gone three quarters of the way through the year. If something says it's 100% or 120%, it gives you an opportunity to raise a flag and ask the question. Yeah. If we're 75% through three quarters of the year, you'll go, well, we're on track. If it's income and we've earned 50%, you can ask the question, well, hang on, shouldn't we be at least 75 or better percentage? So I've asked for that to be changed, and as you come to future meetings, have a look at those percentages, because they're your flags to ask the question, you know, why are you 200% over? If it's income, don't ask the question.
Yeah, I'll go
with
one. Yeah,
that's right.
159%.
Yeah,
159%
over.
Okay, so this
is a good initiative.
So this is relevant for our financial year, which we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay.
So I'm just trying to make sure you get the information you need to ask the questions. And it's the same across New South Wales, believe me, that everyone was open with their accounts, and, you know, whether they use percentages or they use traffic lights, you know, told you it's red because they're over and it's green because they're under, whatever, I think you'd get a better understanding, because not everyone understands finance, so it's about having it there that it's a bit clearer.
I think
I hope that helps.
That's in common terms, that's made that so much clearer to me, and I think it should be used more through the system than anything else. But the sad part about it is it sort of shows that budgets aren't really worth a square to go shoot at the end of the day. But anyway.
Councillor.
I think.
Gladly, we're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
So please.
The budgets aren't. Yes, it's sad that it works that way.
Yes.
Sorry.
I guess it's important to remember too, though, that by the time we've seen the results and the reports, that they may well be
changed.
You know, if something's at 159% when we're reading it today, it may well be a lot past that by the time, in practical terms. So it's, prima facie it's okay, but in the real world, it's, things could be a lot different.
Yeah.
Paper, so it's coming to bear in mind when reading the things. I think it's a worth certainly very worthwhile exercise, but sometimes the red flag may go up a bit late.
A bit late.
Thank you, Chair. It works very well in multi-purpose councils because we only meet four times a year. There is that delay, and you do get that delay in your normal council. But it again raises the question, if it's 150% now and you're a month down the track before you get it, you can ask the question, can you give me that figure at the meeting as to where we are on this expenditure? Now, it might be 150 because they've shut it off and gone over, but you want a reason for it, so you can put in your notice of motion to ask the question why. Here, I just answered the question, but other councils, they require notices of motion. So it is important that if you pick it up, you can then find out why. And it might be 225% by the time you come to the meeting. So if it's a project job, and we need to talk about projects later, but if it's a project and it's gone over budget, what is the true expenditure for that organisation and who's going to pay it? So it's really important in your own councils to bring in things like this where you do have, you can see what your budget is without having to go through all the fine items and try to sort it out yourself, because that's not your role. It's the role of the general manager to be open and give you that information.
Okay, councillors, back to the books. 7.2, 7.21, Weed Action Program. The recommendation on page 37 is that the report on the 2020-2021 Weed Action Program report you received and noted.
I'll move that, Mr. Second. Chairman, and I'd like to talk to the funding team.
Councillor Rudd, that's been moved.
Yeah, the Armidale Regional Council took a delegation down to Lower Creek on the weekend, and as it says here in the first three paragraphs under the recommendation, there was great concern there about the soda apple and how it was, the spread of it's being affected by the current weather, the rain, the floods, the inability to actually get to it and spray it in some cases. So it's still, John, they were fairly toey about that situation. So they're certainly concerned about its spread. I think they realise that it's got, you know, areas outside their control, like floods and that, and the fires, but it's certainly, I think in their eyes, it's spreading, and there's not much they can do about it at the moment.
This is the landholders you're referring
to.
It was
a big thing. Just, can I ask a quick question here, please? This is to one of the words, fellas. It would be at the end of its full stage now, would it? Gone into nut?
Well, and fruit.
Sorry.
Yep. Councillor.
Sorry about that.
We're currently in the process because it's been moved. Councillor O'Connor is the second speaker.
I'm happy not to make a comment because I think the Lower Creek situation, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to Lower Creek. So I'm happy to defer not to say anything.
Councillor Gladwell, would you like to say something
else? Thank you. Yeah, the cycle of has it gone to seed now, and it's way too late in the season to be doing anything about it? Or what's to go with that? I mean, and I know we've not budgeted for whatever, but this is just a personal question that I'd like to know.
Mr. General Manager, would any of your staff like to answer this question?
They would.
Mr. Chair, so Treble Soda Apple will see continuously throughout the year every 13 weeks.
Oh, really?
So from germination to viable fruit is 13 weeks all year.
Ah.
It's a big germination, isn't it?
Thank you for that.
Could I ask a question?
Councillor O'Connor.
Yeah, through the chair. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Where are we at in terms of, are we able to accelerate or pick up a specific area of concern that's raised to us by the community? I mean, because clearly the Lower Creek community's got a particular anxiety.
So are we able to then ask the question through the chair to the general acting general manager, do we have any options to, you know, deviate from the plan to respond to that concern?
Mr. Chair, yes, we can change the plan, but we obviously need to talk to the people who are providing the grant funding as to what that is, and that program is a landowner program as well, working cooperatively with them. So we'd have to go back to DPI and talk to them about varying that. The same as once this grant money runs out, we already know from what we've been told that the problem's going to escalate because of the flooding and the fires and that around that area, and probably further down than Macleay into Kempsey Shire. So there's an opportunity to put together another grants program that we could then continue that work. So obviously this needs follow-up. If it was a drought year, we may have got on top of it, but you know, the fact was we had a flood in the middle of the program, and that's probably, you know, caused greater disturbance to what's there.
So, through the chair, would it be helpful for us to pass a resolution now or under the urgent matters to give you authority to kind of get cracking on that now? At least to do follow up with those residents and with the grant provision, and maybe also talk about a joint application with Kempsey Council to, because it's also terrain is a really big issue here, isn't it? We've had really adverse seasonal conditions, but the terrain is always there as a problem, and we share that in common with Kempsey Council. So anyway, with that, and that might respond to Councillor Murat's concern.
And just to put a little thing in there, thank you. Surely this, you would think, would come under some disaster grant money or something like that, through something maybe, because it's very extraordinary conditions that have done this. So I don't know whether there's any grant funding or something that would wing off some of the disaster stuff, because, I mean, it's not as if we haven't had too many enough disasters.
For sure. Can the funding deal with them?
Can I ask another question?
What do you think, Mr. General Manager?
Just on the last one, you councillors wish to move a motion as a matter of urgency.
Yep.
I'll put one forward to
you. Would you like to put it forward so they can hear it, and we'll get to it as a matter of urgency?
Basically, that council investigate and prepare grant applications with Kempsey Shire Council for the control and eradication of tropical cedar apple on the Macleay. It is the Macleay, is it?
Yes,
the Macleay.
Can I suggest an amendment there, just including, if possible, with Kempsey? Because with that grant, that motion will fail if Kempsey say go away.
Staff like to express their situation whether the fires had an impact
and the
floods, of course.
Mr. Chair, so there was a LLS round of funding recently for bushfire, drought, I believe, flood disaster.
The LLS focus there.
There was one successful application. There was one application from the Macleay Valley which was successful. The funding for the current ARC drought project was off the back of the bushfires. And I spoke with Rural Financial Counselling Service yesterday, and there are grants of up to $75,000 for flood.
Councillor Gladley.
That was correct. They didn't discuss who it was, but in an area that's affected by it, the one application, there was a room or a fire shed full of people that put applications in, and they didn't get a look in. There was only the one that, and they didn't name who it was. But so maybe it wasn't taken quite as seriously as what through the LLS that should have got by the sounds. But anyway,
they were pretty toey about it. Put it that way, we were there.
Councillor O'Connor.
Oh, just one question. Through you, Mr. Chair, and the Acting General Manager, maybe to staff, but when, if tropical cider apple gets up onto the tableland, is that a threat to the tableland, or is it climatically limited to that moister area?
I can't answer that, so that's my
can't answer
that. Maybe I will.
The frost affected?
Mr. Chair, we are seeing it very slowly coming up higher into up Kempsey Road, but the general consensus is that it's not frost tolerant, that our climatic conditions will protect us on the tablelands, but we are seeing it very slowly moving up Kempsey Road.
Stop most of it,
didn't they? They love it.
Yeah,
so we're going on about the stock eating it and carrying up the hill.
Through all stages?
Is it toxic? Does it have any...
No, as far as we're aware, it's not toxic. They'll actually selectively eat the fruit, and it is...
Chair, we might get councillors some info sent out to you on tropical cider apple. And
yeah.
That's an excellent idea, Mr. General Manager. We might send you a sample. We have a mover and a second on the recommendation that the report on the 2020 and 2021 Weeds Action Program report be received and noted. It's been moved by Councillor Murat and seconded by Councillor O'Connor. Are there anyone like to speak against the report? No? I'll now put the report. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. I'll bring us up on a matter of urgency, which is the next subject, by the way. We're up to matters of urgency, and there are two things of matters of urgency. Delegate authority, and what was that one called?
Grant applications.
So the other one,
Delegate authority, the general manager would explain
what
that tells.
Have you formulated a motion, Mr. Director, or do you want me to? If you've done it, I won't.
I've got one, Mr. Chair. Very simple. The council approved the delegations of authority policy and delegations to the general manager. Mr. Chair, just some background. Technically, I have absolutely no delegations because you've not given me any delegations, and I'm operating with finances, expenditure, direction of staff, and really
legal authority.
I have no legal authority, but I'm sure you appreciate the fact that I've put processes in to try and curb that, because some people do have them, such as John Duggan, who is acting CFI, he can operate, and Heather Apps, who has existing delegations, even though I don't. So, I've worked around that for the time being until we had a council meeting. The delegations of authority policy changed. It used to have, when I picked it up, still had Wayne Deere's name in it. Wayne was two general managers ago. And it had other staff members listed. It should have positions listed. So under the Act, you can delegate your authority to undertake operational matters to the general manager, and I can then delegate those out according to the Act. So that's all we're doing, and that's what that policy says. So, I'd appreciate if we could do that.
I'm very happy to meet that.
Can we have a second?
Just one question.
Councillor Sparks, I think you had a hand up first.
Just one question. If you're moving this motion, do we remove that from the list of items to be, policies to be reviewed, or do we use the other list?
No.
Right, okay, then I'm happy to move.
Yep. Councillor Sparks, happy?
Yep.
Are there any objections? Well, I wish to speak. speak against. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. I declare that carried unanimously. And the second matter of urgency,
Mr. Chair, is a grant for tropical cedar apple. The council investigate and prepare grant applications, if possible, with Kempsonshire Council for the control and eradication of tropical cedar apple along the McLean River.
I'm happy to move that.
And do I have a second, Councillor Murray? Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak on that?
Just for the record, that given our specific knowledge brought to us to this meeting by Councillor Matt, Murat, we just want to give the general the acting general manager the opportunity to respond in as timely a manner as possible to the particular concerns that those residents have.
Councillor Murat, sorry, Councillor Murat said
I've got some information. Yes,
Councillor Murat.
Before we vote on that, sort of via the Regional Weeds Committee and discussions there, and informal discussions after that, the feeling from the DPI in particular is that the solar apple area is a terrible concern, but the feeling is that the landholders in that area, and speaking generally, not exclusively, are pretty much grants at this stage are they're pretty much addicted to grant money for treating their tropical cedar apple, and that their level of commitment has been up till this point pretty low due to the fact that they've got this addiction to grants. I mean, Newer has been heading down there and treating their cedar apple, you know, and the strike team have been heading down there and treating their cedar apple for years for free, pretty much, and they've had to, you know, do nothing, and it's human nature that if someone else is going to do it for you, why would you do it yourself? But the DPI do think at this point that that's probably time that it finished, and that Newer's role probably would be better served, as less in supplying heroin and starting to enforce their obligations. You know, that's really time for them to get in and do it themselves, or else. And while there is no doubt some public land down there that will always be the government bodies or the local control authorities' responsibility, that it's time the landholders took responsibility for their own cedar apple. So grants are all well and good, but it's just like giving a heroin addict more heroin, essentially. You know, and there's been some disasters for sure, but the level of commitment prior to the disasters was pretty slim. So at which point do you turn off the tap?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my concern, and it's not to say that I don't think looking for free money to string them out for a bit further might be a good thing. It's hard to know, but bear in mind before we pass this that at some point it will have to stop. They will have to do their job, essentially, and if they don't do their job, they should end up in trouble.
Can I just make a comment on that? That always happens, doesn't it? I mean, it's just human nature, and perhaps the authority should look at identifying exactly who's not doing their job and send them a letter.
Yeah, through the inspection process, as you're saying. Yep. Mr. Jones, through your staff, you'd be doing that already, wouldn't you, inspecting?
Mr. Chair, I believe Councillor Kerbo is quite correct that the general level of activity in control with staff, and others in the Clay Valley is quite low, and that has come on from US continuous support and grant funding. To my knowledge, there are no directions undertaking
Galatly.
I'm fairly familiar with all those people from working down there for years and years as a tour guide operation. But does anyone know if cattle do all right on it? Just for looking at the other side, I mean, they could be very happy that they could fatten cattle on it. I don't know. I mean, you've got to look at all aspects of it, and just knowing the nature of the beast. Admittedly, it's all the flats country, but it is coming, as we said, it is coming up a lot more. It's a bit of a hard one, isn't it? But yes, when you talk to them down there, they reckon that they're doing a really good. Well, they're doing, putting a lot of time and effort into it, but this can be contracted. And then you've also got other people there that aren't producing any stock at all off their little bit of land, say like Turnbull's down there, whereas they haven't got any stock on there and it's only for recreational purposes, and they're probably saying, well, why should we worry about it, because we're not making any money out of the place. But yeah, it's definitely a hard one to get hold of. But the trouble is, it can spread so quickly. With your floods, just a bit of a rise, a small flood can probably do just more damage than what a big one does. At least a big one might take it all out to sea somewhere. I don't know if it grows. Does it grow in the salt there, Mark, at all? Do you know more?
I don't know much about this tropical sea rabble. I've seen a lot of it on the railway lines down in the Hunter Valley lately. Does that have interest? No. Councillor Sparks.
What about bees? Are they interested in it? Bees.
Oh, flowers.
That's
apiaries.
That's a good question.
Mr. Chair,
so we
will send you some information on tropical sea.
That would be good.
We obviously don't know.
Councillor O'Connor.
Well, I suppose maybe I'll sort of exercise an informal right of reply with your permission.
This actually closes the debate.
Look, I take what has been said about the landholder's responsibility. Given that the facts that I know, and I think, please correct me if anybody thinks I'm wrong, is that the flooding has exacerbated the control problems for both this council, the newer, and also for the private landholders. I don't think that while we recognise what councillor, I'm sorry, I don't know what Kermode. What Councillor Kermode has said, I think is a really important element in the debate. So I don't think it negates the benefit of doing what is contained in the motion, but I think we could, as a matter arising, start to inform the landholders that this can't go on forever, and that they have to start demonstrating more commitment themselves, like everybody else has to. So kind of gradually transition them into and maybe liaise, but I'm suggesting this is an informal thing with LLS to kind of get a joint position between you and LLS on exactly how to kind of manage the landholder commitment aspect. But given that, you know, there has been this flooding problem that's exacerbated it, I don't think that means that we shouldn't pursue the motion. But I think we're all, you know, we could just note as a matter arising that the landholders be advised that it can't go on forever. And if they want help, you know, in methods and timetabling interventions or working out the best way, you know, the technical assistance is there from the Weeds Council, but eventually they're going to have to take it on themselves. I think a gradual approach is going to be much better for everybody than just jumping off the supply.
Lot to consider there, councillors. So I have a mover and a second. Councillor O'Connor and Councillor Murat seconded. Would anyone else like to speak against it? I'll now put the recommendation. Would you like to read the recommendation again? We've had so much discussion of it. I'll do it again myself.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The Council investigate and prepare grant applications, if possible, with Kempsey Shire Council for the control and eradication of tropical sea rabble along the Clay River.
Lovely. Everyone there? Okay. I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner. 1, 2, 3.
Happy.
So
you're happy?
Four. I declare it carried.
I'm going to have to turn the tap off.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, well, would you like your vote against recorded?
I think that's standard procedure anyway under the Royal Code.
Councillor Commode. Vote against recorded. I declare that carried. Now, the next meeting is Tuesday the 15th of June. We've got to discuss where. Where would you like to hold it, councillors?
Depends.
Any hotel will be right.
What about the top pub in
Europe? Once we talk to Walker and Glenn Innes first, tell me what you folks would like to do. Because obviously us Armidale folks would say Armidale, and we are the majority, but it doesn't. I'm not going to go down that path. You tell us what you fellas think.
I don't think we've had one in Walker for a while, have we?
Yeah, we've had the last one in Walker.
No, we didn't. No, yeah. The last one was in Armidale.
Yeah, sorry, you're correct. The one before that was in Walker.
Could have been, yeah.
We haven't had one in Urella, and we haven't had one in...
No, probably Urella's been. Or Gowra.
Okay. Where would you like it? Where would you like it? Did you tell me, councillors?
Urella, I think. No, is that Urella's not a big problem for
us?
I'm happy with
Urella. Yeah, we can have the next one in Urella if you want. Yep. But we have a think about what we want to do. Oh, well, we're going into a new council anyway, so how many meetings have we got? We've only got one at all.
No, this is in June, so we're still not in caretaker mode, we're still in operation.
So that's this June.
Would that be our last meeting as a council?
That'll be our last meeting as a council.
Okay. Well, then the new council can discuss.
Yes.
And that'll be in Urella.
The next one's in Urella, but then we'll go into caretaker mode for the elections. So
we
have
a
new
council.
Oh, my goodness me. It's all complicated. What date is it?
The 15th of June, 2021, 8:30 at Urella. Council chambers. I'll book the chambers this afternoon.
Okay.
We don't want
to make
the start date. Do you want to make that at 9, councillors, instead of 8:30?
Yeah. Councillor Sparks has got an extra.
That'd be good.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
9 a.m. Change, 9 a.m.
If someone cares.
Thank you. Very much.
All right, you've got the attachment. Well, I now declare the meeting closed. Thank you, councillors, for participating. Thank you, Glenn and Council, for hosting our meeting today.
It's been a pleasure. One of the first, I think, is it?
This is the first in Glen Innes.